Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome into the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky, joined today by the great Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing okay. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You are sick. We discussed this a little bit on Poke the Bear, but you've got what?
It's fucking rude.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't want to talk about this at all. All right, let's move on. No, respiratory infection. You've got a sinus infection. You have gotten just absolutely crushed by this illness.
Yeah, it's not great, Evan. You know, I stubbed my toe as well, stepped on a Lego, got a hangnail. It's a fucking rough time, let me tell you. But you know what? We're trucking through. It's a busy time of the year. Trade deadline is what, 2 weeks away? We gotta start talking some hockey here. Even if my voice runs out, even I have to start like just typing in responses or something like that. I'll have a little whiteboard.
I'll read them.
And I'll respond.
I'll read them.
Yes, exactly. We'll make it work. We'll make it work, Evan.
He said trade for Sidney Crosby. Trade Patra Lowry next year's first for Sidney Crosby. That's what Connor's saying. I can't believe he's saying that. He said trade Linus Olmark. Oh my God.
I am Petrov Maguire. Yes, I'm a big Sidney Crosby to the Bruins stand. So
I don't know if maybe I've said this on here before, and forgive me if I have, but my favorite Petrov Maguire related thing was, I remember one time Patrick Donnelly was like, "Are you Petrov Maguire?" And I was like, "No." And he's like, "I've always thought you were Petrov." And I'm like, "No, I'm not creative enough. I'm not funny enough to do that." So no, Petrov is in a league of his own. I'm not. I'm not Petrov. I wish I was Petrov Maguire, but unfortunately, I am not. I think maybe I've said that on this podcast before. Maybe I haven't. But good to see you're doing better. Good to see that the voice is coming back. And yeah, doing great. Doing perfect. We're going to start from an area that isn't on the ice. It's more off the ice. Story came out on, I want to say it was like, it was Thursday, from Thursday. Chad Finn with the Globe. Nesson's Jack Edwards opens up about his speech issues, saying he is fine medically and puzzled himself. Jack said, "I did not have some kind of accident. I do not have cancer. I don't have dementia. I haven't had a stroke. All of that's been confirmed by Mass General Neurology. They've done tests that seem like I'm going through some sort of science fiction scene, but it's really true. The images of my brain literally reveal nothing. That's my joke with them." I like how all through this article, Jack kind of keeps that like he's making fun of his own situation, which I thought was enjoyable. He said it doesn't fit in any slot. There have been a couple of guesses, but they haven't made a definitive diagnosis, and they've been working on me for over a year and a half. It's very frustrating, as you can imagine, for me to have this slowdown in my speech. He realized it during the annual reading of the Declaration of Independence in 2022, that he was having trouble forming sentences and getting words out. And the article goes on to kind of detail he has to go through like speech therapy every day, and he does warm-ups when he isn't calling games. And he's 66 and a half years old, which Jack, I mean, I don't know if people realize that Jack is getting up there in age. I mean, I'm not saying he's, you know, super old, but I feel like a lot of people would assume like, you know, 50s. He's 66 and a half. And he mentioned how Andy Brickley's been great to him, and that, you know, he's Nesson hasn't talked to him apparently about this. There was a lot in this story. I think one of the biggest things, though, first of all, I'm glad nothing actually is wrong yet with Jack. I think we're all happy that it was, I mean, you know, it wasn't a stroke. It wasn't an accident. This seems hopefully curable. I don't think it's any secret. I mean, Jack has sounded this way for a while. I mean, it's been a couple years now where, you know, he has had a difficult time on broadcasts. And, you know, we never talked about it because you don't know, you don't want to speculate on someone's public, on their health. You know, you don't want to publicly do that. But, I, you know, it's been around for a little while here. And it's, first of all, it's good to hear that he's doing better, but I'm curious what your reaction kind of was to this.
Yeah, no, obviously echo what you said, that the most important thing is that doesn't seem like it's anything medical, as you said, no stroke or cancer or anything else like that. So that's without a doubt the most important thing. It's not something else like that. It's hindering his ability. And yeah, I mean, from looking at that piece, and, you know, it was, you know, I think good for Jack for being very candid about it. And I think a really good piece from Chad, you know, getting those questions across and, you know, talking about both what he's currently dealing with in his future and stuff like that. I don't know what the, you know, what the future holds in terms of, you know, the broadcast or Jack or what the overall plan is. I won't speculate on that. The most, you know, my number one takeaway is one, that he's healthy, and that's the most important thing. But two, you know, I know Jack is, could be a divisive, probably broadcaster. Bit. I think even during his heyday, that was probably drew a lot of back and forth, whether you like his kind of style. But he's also has been kind of the soundtrack to a lot of Bruins fans, some of their better moments for the last, you know, almost over two decades, right? Almost two decades during this era. So most importantly, you wish him well. And I think the most important thing from, like, you know, my limited time of speaking with Jack and talking with him is that he is a extremely passionate hockey fan, loves the Bruins. I think really loves the fans, you know, loves chatting with people after a game, talking hockey. And I think in this sport, especially, there's a lot of people who do this year in, year out, where it almost becomes just second nature as to how you approach this or the situation you're in, where you can kind of take it for granted, right? Of, you know, I've been covering the team for a while. We've both been covering sports for a while. Like, oh yeah, my job involves going to rinks, talking to hockey players, stuff like that. That's all well and good. That's, you know, part of the gig. But I think it's always important to kind of keep yourself grounded as to, you know, how fortunate we are to be in this position. And I think Jack throughout his career has never lost sight of that. I think that's something that's really important to have. And he's someone who's been very appreciative of what opportunity he's in, the platform he has. And so for me, again, the most important thing, I think, is, you know, stressing that, one, he's okay. And that's without a doubt the thing that comes to the forefront here. But I think when you can peel back the discourse over, you know, Jack and whether you like him as a broadcaster or not, he's a guy who I think takes his job very seriously, is very passionate about it, doesn't lose sight of where it is. And I think in this media field, where I think that can be taken for granted a lot of times, sometimes it's worth kind of celebrating people who don't lose sight of that thing. So I wish Jack well, whatever the kind of the future holds, and hopefully he's able to correct this in the near future.
I couldn't agree more. I think the interesting thing with Jack, that, you know, it's great when there are the professional, or no, I don't want to say professional, but okay, for instance, when Alex Faust comes and does games, Alex Faust is terrific. I think we all agree that Alex Faust is awesome. Yeah. And Northeastern grad, local kid. I don't know this for a fact, but must be a Bruins fan.
We don't talk about the beanpot. No,
I know. You see the Owen Keith Alex thing? Very good at what he does. Did you see the Owen Keith thing? Jerry's son, Jerry Keefe's son, was committed to BU, but was recently committed to Northeastern instead. He was at the Beanpot, or he watched the Beanpot, and he's like, damn, that looks really fun over with Northeastern with my dad. I want to play for them. And I got a kick out of that. I'm like, wow, Northeastern got another win out of the Beanpot. But I think an interesting thing back to the Jack discourse, with Jack, as you said, he's always been divisive. There's been obviously opposing fans are not the biggest fans of Jack. There's a section of Bruins fans who would rather have someone a little more polished on air. And, you know, I think the polish is great. There's nothing wrong with that. It's professional, easy to listen to, all that stuff. What I like Jack for is he brings the passion in November, December, January, some of the months where the games can just kind of be average games on the schedule. Bruins, Predators, January 11th, 7 p.m. on like a Monday, like, or Tuesday. And Jack brings it. Like, to me, that's always been why I've liked Jack, is that he brings it. He always brings it. And yes, he says some outlandish things. You see the quotes on Twitter, Jack Edwards sans context. It's great.
Petrov Maguire. That's a Petrov Maguire staple.
Another Petrov Maguire staple with the guy at the baseball game, like whispering in the girl's ear. Any Jack Edwards statement. And I like that. But I think that's something that people are going to miss when Jack does decide to retire. You know, I know that Jack does love to insert his opinions in things and stuff like that, but I like the passion. I like that he brings it. And even on away goals, it doesn't get talked about enough. When the away team scores, he brings energy to it. Like, as if it's a Bruins fan calling the game who's mad but really into the game. Like, oh, they just scored. Like, whereas you listen to some other opposing team broadcasters, and there is no call when the away team scores. It's just, oh, and they score. Like, I want someone who's so invested in the game that you're feeling the ebbs and the flows with them. And so, again, the polish route is awesome. At some point, Nesson will bring in someone for Jack, you know, whenever that might be, and they'll be polished and terrific. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But the uniqueness that Jack brings to the game, I've always enjoyed, and I hope he gets better. But yeah, I mean, the last couple of years, it's hard to ignore. Like, he has slowed down, but hopefully these therapies and this works. I'm glad he finally spoke out about it, because it's every night on Twitter, if you search Jack Edwards, that's constantly talked about. People talk about it, and it's good that he finally addressed it. I didn't catch the opening monologue against Calgary, so I don't know if he addressed it or not, but I think it's good that he did. I think it was, you know, and I'm glad that he did, because as I said, it's been talked about for quite a bit of time, so we're happy that Jack is doing better, and that hopefully better days are ahead for Jack. But anyways, real quick word from our sponsor. Quick break in the show to tell you about our good friends over at FanDuel. Get buckets with your first bet on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your bet wins. Bet on all your favorite NBA players and teams with quick bets, live same game parlays, exclusive props, and more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Boston and shoot your shot. FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. 21 plus and present in Mass. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start, GameSenseMA.com, or call 1-800-GAM-1234. Now, back to the conversation. So the Bruins have been out in Western Canada, Edmonton, Calgary. You know, it's been an interesting start to overtime games in two straight nights. I can't imagine people slept very well after those. A lot of OT. but I will give the Bruins this. So the Calgary game was tough, you know, a tough overtime loss. But even though they blew that lead in Edmonton, 4-1 in the third period, hard to justify that. Jeremy Swayman was not at his best. There were some definite holes. They still won. They still found a way to win in Edmonton. And I give them that. Again, I think if they lose both those Edmonton and Calgary games, we're saying a lot different things. We're highlighting the negatives more. But I will give it to them. They pulled it out. And it's felt like this whole year, this team, even when they're shorthanded, even when they've got a bunch of young guys in their bottom six and the top six still isn't fully figured out and you have injuries to the left side on defense, they go in and beat Edmonton, one of the hottest teams in the league. Like, to me, it's impressive how they still just kind of find ways to win. I'll give it to them.
Yeah. It's kind of tough to even put a full gauge on this team. Like, I think we can all definitively say, Evan, the Bruins are a good team. We can say that, but it's, you know, yes, I think we can make that bold proclamation here, but no, I agree. It's like you go through this extended stretch here where it seems like nothing's going your way. You're playing down to certain opponents, not able to get the winning plays needed, a full 60 minute effort, all that stuff, all those cliches. And then, as you said, they come out and beat Edmonton on the road after a game that seemed like it was going way south for them, right? Like, you blow a 4-1 lead, you're able to come back, win in overtime. They just seem to have a knack for stepping up in those critical situations and delivering when needed. So, again, it's what we've talked about all this time before. This team always seems to – there's been very few games where we've kind of circled them on the calendar and they don't show up. Like, they've had no shows, right? We look at like the Calgary game here, the Seattle game here, a couple of them, but like you look at like this game, you look at the Vancouver Canucks game at home. It's been quite a few times, like when the Panthers have been here, all that stuff. There's been a lot of times where the Bruins have really kind of stepped up when needed. And you hope that kind of translates to when the games actually matter in April and May.
I agree with you, and it's interesting because with the way they're playing, I think the road trip has come at the perfect time. They needed this road trip. After that terrible homestand, to go out west, you know, be on the road, go out, have fun, play those teams, you know, kind of come together. I think it came at the perfect time. And this kind of hits at the deadline stuff, right? They almost play better when they're shorthanded. Like, they always kind of just squeak ways out to win. And they didn't have to do that a lot last year. Last year, there were a lot of easy cakewalk games. Your roster was better than the other teams. If the first line didn't step up, the second and third lines did. The second line didn't step up, the first line would, whatever. But this year, they're good shorthanded. And I give them that. Obviously, you want to beat Calgary on Thursday. You would have liked to have had that. But again, you know, Coyle finally gets the monkey off his back. He's been playing great, but hasn't been scoring. He gets two goals. Really thought McAvoy had a goal there in overtime. And then Lowry hit the crossbar, which was wild. I want to talk about Lowry, and I want to talk about the deadline. But first, quick words from our friends over at Factor Meals. Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals make eating better every day easy. Wherever tomorrow takes you, be ready with pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals delivered right to your door. There are two-minute meals, fuel up fast, with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. There's snacks, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more. Sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, upscale options done easily, and they're flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing 6 to 18 meals per week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime. And no prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are 100% ready to heat and ready to eat, and there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. So head to factormeals.com/Bruins50 and use code Bruins50 to get 50% off. That's code Bruins50 at factormeals.com/Bruins50 to get 50% off. Now back to the show. So Factor Meals, I started by talking about Factor Meals. Factor Meals is great. I agree. Factor Meals is terrific.
This is the entire second half of this podcast, yes.
We're talking Factor Meals the whole second
half. My personal favorite is the chorizo chili, Evan, but...
Well, there you go. Yeah, it, Yeah, I mean, we could go back and forth on our favorite Factor Meals forever, but we will stick to hockey in the second half. Factor Meals is just in my head. I couldn't help it. Mason Lowry. I don't know how I got Factor Meals and Mason Lowry confused, but here we are. Mason Lowry, three assists. He does. Yeah, he needs to eat some more Factor Meals. I agree. Mason Lowry, three assists against Edmonton. Steps in, kind of comes in last minute after Lindholm's injury. He's forced West. And then you have Grizzlick go down in that game. And Lowry was on the ice for that like 3-minute and 40-second shift.
Yeah.
I think that was like in the second period. I don't know how on that shift they didn't either give up a goal, take a penalty. I mean, and Edmonton only had really like one good chance in that whole sequence, if memory serves. Like, it was a lot of perimeter stuff. Yeah. Carlo and Lowry just kind of kept guys to the outside. It was almost a blessing you had those two on the ice, cause they're two of your biggest, guys with good sticks. So, Lowry through two games has looked pretty good. And, you know, it's an interesting time for him to come up because, as we've talked about, the left side on D with Forbert, he's struggled since returning. Grizzlick's, you know, banged up. Lindholm's out for the foreseeable future. This kind of is a good path for Lowry to come in and get a real shot. Do you think he can stay? Because I know there was even in that play in the game against Edmonton, you know, he kind of got out-muscled in front of the net late in that third period. But the offensive upside and the puck moving abilities are still there. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny. We talk about Lowry a whole lot this year. And I think if you sum up like all of my discourse around Lowry, it probably seems like it's overly negative. And I don't want it to be that way, right? Because I think like you look at him and, you know, how poised he's been at times this year. I mean, you look at like his first game got called up was dynamite there. Again, He has these warts in his game that we all knew were going to be there. The guy started playing defense when he was fucking 16, right? Like,
I know.
He's still a work in progress, so, which is totally fine. So when you have games like Edmonton where you have a 3-assist night, and yeah, he maybe gets out-muscled at the net front leading to that Hyman goal. Like, that's going to happen. But all things considered, it's not like he's a net negative. It's not like it's like...
No, I agree.
You know, like he's like Weidman out there. You're like, I don't like when he's in the D zone at all.
Crushing
like,
refs, just yeah, absolutely bamboozling the refs.
Right. Like again, like even with the flaws in this game that you hope would get corrected. And again, he's already still a young player with not a lot of development time under his belt. There's a lot to like about what he's provided at critical moments to this team. Like, is offensive generation from the blue line the most pressing issue for this team? Not necessarily, but you'll take it. You'll take it when your defenseman's got a 3-assist night.
Yeah.
And he's shown time and time again that he can step up when needed and contribute. So it's going to be fascinating to see just how this final stretch of the year goes for him, right? Because, like, could he be a trade ship? I'm sure there'd be a lot of teams that would love to have him. I don't think the Bruins are necessarily looking to move a 6'5" puck moving defenseman for what he brings. Could he be fighting for a spot in the playoffs? Like, could he be doing all these things? Like, I mentioned this talking with Ty Anderson on one of our last podcasts. It's like, yes, people look at like, all right, if Lindholm's injured, you want to bring up like a guy, you want to look for a guy like Hanifin, you want to look at a guy like Middleton. If this is the year where you already are up against the cap, you don't have a lot of resources, and it's kind of that bridge year where you got to let things kind of play itself out. Maybe this is the year you let Mason Lowry take his lumps and hopefully thrive in the playoffs with 18, 19 minutes a night. Like, again, maybe this is the time to see how he does. Like, Ty mentioned the fact that in 08, Krejci wasn't necessarily supposed to be in the playoff lineup, but Bergeron was dinged up, Savard was hurt, came back late, but Krejci played like 18, 19 minutes as a young player in 08, held his own, and then came out the next year and had a 70-point season, right? Like, yeah. I'm not saying that's what Lowry's going to have, but he benefited a whole lot from that kind of trial by fire. So as much as I think I've been kind of pumping the brakes on Lowry this year, like, I think a lot should be said about how well he's accelerated his timeline from where he was going into training camp and just what he's provided at times this year, because it's hard to ignore the skill. The skill is absolutely there. And
oh yeah,
with more reps, you imagine he's gonna fill out the rest of his overall game there. And if he does that, he's got a pretty friggin' dynamic top four defenseman for the long haul here.
I was going to say, I mean, you look at just some of the passes he makes, you know, just smart heads up offensive plays and the confidence too, like joining the rush, having chances in overtime. I think that's another big part of it. Like, he's not afraid to go to the net. He's not afraid to go down deep in the offensive zone or make the, or take an extra second to make a pass, leaving his own zone. And those are really good signs of a young defenseman. And you mentioned the trial by fire thing. The recent example was Charlie McAvoy in 2017 against the Senators. Like, that was the recent example where, you know, he came right out of college. Like, Lowry at least has a runway of a season. He's faced McDavid. He's played a good amount of minutes up here. McAvoy was just tossed in. Like, dude, we got nobody else. Like, you have to play.
Yeah.
You've got to run our top power play. And I think Lowry can bring that. And I think for what Hampus Lindholm provided you, you know, is Lowry as good in his own zone as Lindholm? No, but the puck moving elements and the offensive elements. I mean, you can make an argument the offensive elements, the offensive ceiling is higher for Lowry than it is for Lindholm. And again, it's close. One's an NHL veteran who's making a lot of money. The other's a rookie. But I do think that you have something with Lowry, and that's why I'm with you. I'm fascinated and curious to see kind of how Lowry's role evolves in these last couple months, because he's going to get a lot of opportunity. You know, I mean, whether it's being up here as a third pairing guy, whether it's, you know, a guy like Grzelcyk going down like in Edmonton and then Lowry, you know, eating a lot of those minutes. So I think he's going to have a lot of chances here. And you touched on it there with Noah Hanifin. I mean, he's the big name everybody's talking about around here. Loco kid would be a great fit here. Your top four would be, you know, incredibly elevated going forward. And I think the Hanifin Lowry thing is interesting because ideally you'd rather not have Lowry on your third pair. I think like that's not something you really want for your future. And if Lindholm and Hanifin for the long haul, Lowry probably is a third pairing guy. So maybe he would make sense in a trade, but I don't want to trade Lowry. That's the other thing. Like, so that's why The Hanifin deal to me, unless you can do that without giving up. I sound like a fan here. I was like, if you can do that trade without giving up a first, Patra or Lowry, I'm cool with it, you know? But to me, yeah. I think you're doing that.
I don't think that's happening.
One or two of those three are going to Calgary in that deal. Hanifin is their number one guy. They're trying to rebuild on the fly. Other teams have a lot. I don't know how you make a deal for Hanifin without a first round pick and or Patra and or Lowry. Like, I don't know how you I know you wrote about him today.
I don't think you do. I don't think you do. I think it has to be, at the very least, has to be a 2025 first. And then I can't see any situation where the team, the Bruins, have a player on their roster with term, young, to give to a team like Calgary that's clearly rebuilding. Like, yeah, you can mention DeBrusk, who's a free agent at the end of this year. People mention like Ullmark. I don't know what that's going to do for a team in Calgary that's going to rebuild. Like,
and is he really going to accept the trade to Calgary? I mean, come on.
It's going to be. Yeah, exactly. So it has to be, I think, a first in 2025 and at least one of Lowry and Patra. I can't see any situation where at least two of those three are not getting moved in that deal. If you're the Bruins, you love that. It's not the case. But if you're Calgary and you're rebuilding, you need that. There's not enough on the Bruins roster that fits what you're looking for in terms of a long-term rebuild. That's not one of those two young players.
Not that we're Flames beat, but I remember saying this a lot. You and I both said this like last year when Huberdeau and Uyghur were traded there. And we were like, trade, like, if you're Calgary, trade those guys at the deadline last year and make a ton. Yeah. And you get a ton, you get a haul, you'll rebuild your team in like 1 month. And they kept him, and now they're going to rebuild with those guys on the roster. And Huberdeau's kind of regressed a bit. And so, but again, I don't see a situation which Ullmark is going to Calgary. Like, first of all, he's got to accept that trade. Is it a no movement or no trade? I forget. It's no trade, right? 15 team, no trade.
I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's like a 15 or 16 no trade. And, like, are we convinced that Calgary is on the list of teams he wants to go to? Like, I don't know. And they also have Markstrom there, unless they deal Markstrom, again. So I agree with you, and I don't want to give up a first. I don't want to give up Lowry or Patra at this deadline. I just don't want to do it. And I know the East is wide open. I know You want to have an arms race with the Lightning. You don't want Hanifin to go to the Panthers or the Lightning. I get that. That's all valid. But I do think you have some pieces here for the future that I don't know if you want to give up on, because, you know, I think the key with Patron Lowry, we talk about this with prospects all the time, right? Like a Stadnica, Ryan Donato, some of these prospects who, you know, are so hyped up at the prospect level, you know, when they're in Providence or they're in college, it's like, you know, we don't want to deal them. But we always talk about with prospects, you need to know when to keep them and when to trade them. And with Patra and Lowry, they've both shown you a lot at the NHL level. There's promise there. These are not just guys who are going to be in your bottom six or your bottom pairing on D. These are guys who have that ceiling of, oh my God, they could be franchise players. I don't want to trade those guys. From what I've seen from Lowry and Patra, I don't have any desire to trade them because of that. So if Hanifin's there in the offseason, we'll be leading the charge saying, by God, please go sign this guy. But at this deadline, I don't know. I want to see what we got out of Lowry the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Anyways, Connor, first of all, feel better. Second off, what can the people look forward to from you as you fight through adversity for the Globe and Boston.com.
Yes, I will continue to drink my orange juice, pop a few emergency, all those good things. And as I do that and recover, I will do what I can to keep everyone up to date throughout this season with game recaps, features, columns, breakdowns. As you said, we have a thing on looking at the pros and cons of a Hanifin trade up now on the site. We'll have more throughout the weeks leading up to the trade deadline. So you can find all my stuff over at Boston.com and the Boston Globe. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. That is Connor Ryan. I am Evan Marinofsky, Bruins Beat listeners. Have a great rest of your week.